Good afternoon, folks. This is Bill Williams, and we're bringing you the kickoff inaugural session of From Boots to Biz Radio here on Business Radio X. From Boots to Biz Radio is designed to help military veterans explore the world of entrepreneurship.
Hey, Bill, how you doing?
Doing great, Kevin. How are you? Did you get through all the storms yesterday okay?
Yeah, I didn't even know. I think, 56 tornadoes touched down or something in Georgia. And, I'm just going about my business, and the receptionist is like, did you see what happened? I was like, what are you talking about? Because I was locked in this box all day.
Yeah, it was kind of nasty out there in different parts of the county. So.
Exactly. My girlfriend was worried for me, and I didn't even know what was going on.
So. Probably pretty sound in here. So good.
Well, I'm excited about today's show. I think this is a great thing that you're doing here. What guests do you bring with you today?
Well, I have two good friends for my guests on the first show. I have Bill King, president and founder of Axiom Franchise Advisors, and Mark Eister, who's the director of Veterans Outreach Program at Georgia Perimeter College. So thanks for being here, guys.
It's great to be here, Bill. Thanks for the invite.
And my pleasure, Bill. Thank you.
So, Mr. King, may I call you Bill?
Please. As you've never called me Mr. King, I think it's appropriate.
That's true. That's true. So we've been friends for over 7 years now, and always have a good time, always enjoy your company. But there's a lot of things I think about your background that I don't know. So, whatever you can disclose, tell us about your corporate career and how you got to where you're at today.
Well, I don't know that it's so very interesting, but, kind of a straight line. You know, I, started out, working for a men's tailored clothing company out of Cleveland, Ohio, where I lived. And saw an ad in the newspaper for a mail clerk. And having exactly those skills, I decided to apply for it. And, they didn't have really good screening back in those days, so I got the job. And about 20 years later in that career, ended up as that company's chief executive officer, having led it to a leveraged buyout and then subsequently selling the company. So I can clearly say I did my corporate penance about 25 years in that particular industry. And then, like many entrepreneurs, my contract was up. I had a 3-year contract after the company was sold. Mm-hmm. And I came home. I worked in New York. I lived in Connecticut. And I came home one night at my usual hour at 8:45. And in the middle of my dinner, said to my wife, I'll be home early tomorrow. And she says, you've never been home early. Why tomorrow? And I said, it's the last day of my 3-year contract, and I've not really enjoyed the last 3 years since selling the business. So I intend to resign. I've never done it before, but I don't think it takes a long time. So I kidded her that if a limo pulled up about 2:30 in the afternoon, don't rush out and open the doors. I didn't want the empties to sweep her down the driveway. But I left with her reminding me I was having another bad day, and, she'd see me Friday night. Well, in fact, this was by design, that I was burned out, really couldn't do it anymore with the same mentality and the commitment. It was time to move on. Mm-hmm. Contract was up, and that made it easy. And I had cleaned everything out of my office. The only thing left on my desk was a telephone. And I had told my staff at that point what was going on, and I came in and asked to have 5 minutes with the chairman of the board, and he came down, and I'll never forget what I said. It was pretty succinct.
Goodbye.
Well, it was, as I said, I'm going to say something in about one sentence, and I don't think you're going to get it, but, after 23 good years, you've pretty much, taken all of my energy away from this thing, and I've decided to leave and look around. It doesn't indicate I'm going to be here on Monday, and you've made what otherwise should have been the most difficult personal and professional decision easy to make, and I resent you for it, and I'm out of here. And literally took the elevator down after 5 minutes and had the car waiting and drove around the corner and told the driver to stop at the local bodega, and I bought a quart of Dewar's scotch and a 10-pound bag of ice and a paper cup, and I began my entrepreneur career on my way back to Connecticut.
So that's all it takes to be an entrepreneur?
That's all it takes. It's easier than people think. But, the real story, not to entertain you with that, was if you really aren't enjoying it anymore, it's time for you to be, you know, I think, honest with yourself.
Yeah.
And it was hard for me because, you know, 23 years of doing one thing for one group of people, you know, you kind of get lured into that feeling that you're obligated to perform for other people without regard to what you do for yourself.
Yep.
So,
I my last corporate gig, you know, I got to the point where I had to go for a morning run, and my neighborhood winds around a little lake, and about a quarter, half a mile, you know, into the run, you get to a rest area, and every morning I would walk off the street and throw up, and then I could go finish my run, and then after that I could go to work. So, but that was the last two or three years of my corporate career, so I can understand the burnout. So how did you get to franchising?
Well, honestly, I don't think it was by design, because I really knew very little about franchising or the industry itself, and I do what everybody else does that comes out of corporate America, and you know, you draw on your experiences and you become a consultant, or as one of my friends told me, it gave me a license to extort large sums of money from unsuspecting people that were once friends of mine. So I did that, and it just, you know, it was temporary. It didn't really fill a long-term goal, and I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit, and was looking around to buy, build, or create something that would change my life, allow me to stay home, watch my kids grow up. I was tired of the travel. And a friend of mine who actually owned a franchise called and said, you ought to look into franchising, which I did. And I, you know, saw the value, the inherent value, the risk minimization, all of that sounded great. But I was still concerned that it was too early for me, after spending so many years in the one industry, to try to pick that one thing, that moment in time, and hopefully to be satisfied with it. So he suggested that I become a consultant, a franchise consultant. I didn't even know there were such people.
Right, yeah.
In fact, he reminded me there's in the city of Atlanta at that time, not now, but at that time, there were 55,000 real estate agents and less than 1,000 franchise consultants in the entire United States. So there seemed to be room for me. And I found a local company that trained and licensed me to become a sole practitioner, if you will, in franchise consulting, and had a very successful business. And being Irish, I was cursed with taking something small and being forced to make it bigger. So with a partner, in the last quarter of 2006, we founded Axiom Franchise Advisors and bought the partner out about a year ago, and Axiom survived.
Good.
Well, for our listeners, Bill, what is a franchise consultant, and what do you do?
Sure. Well, it's a great question, and probably one that Bill ought to elaborate on. But a franchise consultant, really, the role of a qualified consultant and that being the difference here.
Yeah, yes.
But the role is to help entrepreneurs realize, you know, what are the depths of their skill sets, their financial resources? What are the driving motivations that are pushing them toward entrepreneurship? Are these valid? Do they fit within the qualification thresholds? Do they really have the entrepreneurial DNA? All of this to say that we're not focused on the transactional part of franchising. This is not, hey, Kevin, tell me how much money you have, and I'll meet back here tomorrow and present you a couple of concepts, and off I go into the sunset looking for somebody else. This is about fully evaluating, is this the right decision? Forget about, at that moment in time, whether or not you or we even know what it is you're interested in. You know, are the other things in place to make this sensible? Does your family know about this? Are they aware of the consequences? Because these things affect everybody in your life when they're made. So what we tried to do, or what Axiom's mission was when we founded the company, is put much more emphasis on that part of the process, you know, making sure that our clients were educated to the franchise industry, that we told them about the nuances, that they became comfortable with the process that they should expect, the types of behavior that they would have to exhibit. And then, of course, beyond that, really peel the onion back and get to know what are the details and what are the things within them that would or would not. And I emphasize here the would not because, you know, hopefully not too often is the case where if it isn't right, we still feel obligated that we have to tell that person we don't think it's the best move for
That's
them.
Great.
Yep. And how do you respond when has happened to me more than once? That somebody will walk up and say, "Oh, you're in franchising." Well, I love ice cream, so I want to buy an ice cream shop.
Well, I become cynical when I hear that because I've been in this so long. But my first response is, "When did you get back from the family reunion?" And they look at me with glassy eyes, and I say, "Well, my guess is that you were telling somebody that you've made this decision. You were proud. You've wanted to let people know that you've made a major change in your life, and all of a sudden, all that great advice comes at you from your family members. And particularly Uncle Harry."
Yeah.
And I then asked that Uncle Harry, has he created a success in the ice cream business? Nobody eats a lot of it. And that's about the extent of Uncle Harry knowing about ice cream. So we'll say to them, look, why don't you let us do what we do best? And why don't we take you through the process and see if that's the right fit for you? Because it may not be. You know, it's kind of like the question that's asked even more frequently, what's the hottest franchise?
Yeah, there you go.
And I think that that person is so vulnerable when they start thinking that way because the hottest would maybe represent a trend line rather than something that's sustainable or, worse, isn't compatible with their needs or requirements and their resources. Yep. And that's our job is to put you in the right business. You know, most professional guys coming out of corporate America, they want to go in the golf business. They love to play golf.
Yeah.
And I've said, why don't we take $300,000, rent a bulldozer, go to your backyard, dig a hole, push the money in there, have a few drinks. It's more efficient to lose the money, and we'll be entertained by it. Otherwise, you know, why don't you let us once again do what we're really good at doing, and we'll find you that business that will allow you to play a lot of golf. That's a better option, isn't it?
Yeah, when I talk to people, I use the example of when they talk about the hottest franchise. I say, you remember a few years ago there were these eBay consignment stores all over the place popping up.
You had people to bring it up, didn't you?
Yeah, and they said, "Oh yeah, I remember those." I said, "Have you seen any lately?" And, "Oh no," I said. "Well, they were hot, but they're gone." You know, so
that's a great example.
That's not a way to go. Well, thanks, Bill. We'll come back to you in a bit because I want to find out about Axiom and where you see it going in the future and your predictions for the economy of the United States and all that kind of stuff. So
I'm prepared for that.
Okay. So, Mark, we're going to bring you on now. So now you're recently retired from the Army, right?
That's correct.
And you're a sergeant major. A lot of respect there. That's not everybody makes it to the general rank of the enlisted. So
it's the right place at the right time. just staying out of trouble or not getting caught.
Okay, well, there's a little bit of that in everything. So, tell us how long did you serve and tell us about going overseas and
sure. We'll go back all the way to the 90s for just a second. After working in computer repair and that sort of thing and for about 7 or 8 years in the 80s, got to 1990, and my wife and I, she and I had been married for a little over 3 years at the time. We'd always wanted to serve, always, and, you know, we were just barely out of our teens, but always wanted to serve in the military and said, well, if we're going to do it, we better do it now before the kids come along. So we both joined the Army together, and then 3 years later, the kids did come along, so she got out to take care of the kids. And over 20 years later, I've just retired in the last year. Mm-hmm. And so now we have four teenagers. And with that, we decided to hang it up here in Atlanta, back home. And as far as overseas, I've been to Hawaii. That counts as overseas, but, we were stationed in Paradise for a while.
Not bad duty.
Not bad duty at all. Of course, it was the jumping off point for me for Afghanistan, so I did a tour over there. And then we've been stationed in Europe and Germany and then South Korea. So I've been around, got a lot of T-shirts, and it's been a great experience. Now my position is continuing to serve military and veterans. I'm the director of military outreach at Georgia Perimeter College, mm-hmm. and we have five campuses here in Atlanta, plus a really large online segment of the school. And my role there is to help veterans get into school, stay in school, be successful, and use this as a good stepping off point to the next place in their life.
When you say help them get into school, how do they find you?
Various means. Yeah, the internet's a beautiful thing, of course, and they find us that way. But I do face to face and teleconferences with a lot of the military posts and directly relate to them the opportunities for military as they're getting ready to transition out. So they learn that way as well. And then word of mouth is we're a pretty large school, about 24,000 students.
How many vets?
Vets, we have over 700 that are receiving educational benefits and about twice that many that aren't using the educational benefits. So
really?
A boatload, right. A lot of students that are veterans or dependents of veterans.
So they have the present GI Bill to pay for college, but they're not using it?
No, they're using it now. I see what you're saying. Yeah, the segment that's not using it, the post 9/11 GI Bill is the latest, greatest educational benefit from the VA, and it truly is fantastic, and that's why we're seeing such an influx of veterans as they're transitioning out. Military is drawing down, conflicts are coming to a close. Mm-hmm. They're using this benefit. So those veterans and or their dependents, where they can transfer it over to the dependents, that segment's using them. But we also have those who have gotten out in the last 30 years that are just now getting back to school, primarily because of the economy. They're saying, "Okay, I'm not getting hired because I don't have any education or much education." So those folks are coming through our door too, and we're drawing a lot of those guys and gals in because our school is so economical. Have the same rigor and the same courses and so forth for 2-year schools throughout the state. Or I'm sorry, 4-year schools throughout the state, but at a fraction of the cost. So that's drawing a lot of the veterans in who may not have the money to pay for a 4-year school.
Okay. So at Georgia Perimeter, they can get a start, they can get an associate degree, mm-hmm. and then they can choose to go on to a 4-year college and from there. Is that correct?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. Well, you touched on it a moment ago, but talk about these young people coming back today. What are some of the challenges? The economy is obvious, but what else do you see that they're facing as challenges? And
well, needless to say, when going into combat and then coming back out, you're a changed person. Every person that goes in is affected by the stress to some degree, because they've just been separated from family and the tough training and the tough environment. But then you add to that the horrific things that so many of them have to see and partake of just in war in and of itself, mm-hmm. is very, very difficult on any person. Now they come back out from overseas and quickly transition out because their term is up. And they're given this great educational benefit and whatever else the benefit package happens to be from the Veterans Affairs and so forth, and a pat on the back and a handshake and a thank you, and they're thrust back into the civilian sector, like you said, with the economy the way it is. And now they don't have their squad leader or their first sergeant or the commander saying where you need to be, when you need to be there, and we'll take care of you. They're saying, here's your benefit. Good luck using it. Mm-hmm. So they're knocking on schools' doors saying, okay, I'm here with my benefit, and I'm ready to go to school. We help them enroll, but then so many schools don't have any kind of program in place, unfortunately, to help them do that transition. It's really tough. It's a lot of work. And if you don't know where to go and who to talk to and what department and don't have people around that understand the veterans' issues, the veterans' benefits, then they typically will get halfway through the process and bail out. Or they'll finally get through the process, show up for class, and now there's no real understanding of their situation, and maybe they have PTSD, post-traumatic stress, mm-hmm. and all these other things. So a program's been set up at Georgia Perimeter that does help them with all of these transition challenges and many others. Many of them have disabilities now. And so we have a disability section. We have a career services department to help them prepare for and transition into the job market. We have personal counseling, tutoring, veterans affairs counselors, and have a direct contact with the Veterans Affairs Hospital and the regional center to help them with all the paperwork and medical needs. All of these things that are ongoing for the vast majority of them, we're all right there as a one-stop shop to help them get the direction and guidance they need.
Good, good. So they can get some help for PTSD and those issues?
Absolutely. We have a fantastic disabilities section in the school, and also a wonderful personal counseling section of the school that are they're licensed clinicians there in the school, provided free of charge to them, and they've had the training to understand what the issues are, what their symptoms are, and treatment. And then more elevated levels of treatment, we have
the VA.
VA and some others as well.
Okay, good, 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 because PTSD can show up, you know, soon or several years after service and all that. So it's a complex issue.
I'm
certainly
aware
of it. One of the things that you and I've talked about in the past, but franchising may be a route for a few of those folks, one of the things that franchising offers is a support and structure, that they're kind of used to coming what do you think the spirit of entrepreneurism is, coming out of the service today?
I think the spirit of it is not only great, but I think veterans typically could or should make great entrepreneurs.
Oh, absolutely.
And let me back up and say that even though I mentioned there's transition challenges, just like there's speaking challenges for me, there are challenges for for so many of them. The majority of them don't have major challenges that it can't quickly overcome. That being said, that these particular students that I deal with, these young men and women, are driven, disciplined, focused, and they do exceptionally well in school, especially when they're getting the help they need to get over the hump and past a certain challenge. And that being said, I think so many of them would be phenomenal entrepreneurs and business owners because they have those key ingredients just built in that just makes them super candidates. Some of them don't know of the opportunities yet.
Right.
And that's why I'm glad I'm able to team up with you and learn more and present yet another great opportunity for them.
Well, thanks. Well, we want to provide all the information, and as Bill said earlier, it's not for everybody, but for the few and I won't say the Marine line. So, but for a few, it might be something that they should explore. And franchise companies see the same thing. They understand the value of training. They understand the integrity that's above average among veterans versus the general population. They understand kind of the team-driven attitude, those are all key components of success in a business. So that's good.
Franchisors love military franchisees.
Yes.
They really do. And, one thing, sorry to interrupt, but
I want
to make sure, everybody on this show today is here for the same common and passionate thought of helping our military veterans. And this is a huge challenge. I mean, if you look at this thing globally, we have 10.5 million vets in the workforce today. We got 200,000 that are transitioning every year, and that doesn't even account for the 400 reservists that are coming out. We got 600,000 military vets coming out every year, and we all have to have some sense of wanting to help. These young Americans are out there risking their life to give us the freedoms to run these businesses that we have. We've got to pay back. And, one of the things to mention is there is a program that is fostered by the International Franchise Association called VetFran.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope I'm not stepping over you, Bill, and
you're probably going to
mention this anyways. But this is an organization that includes over 500 different franchisors that are all committed to participating in providing financial incentives, mentoring, and leadership programs to veterans of all services. And I just placed a gentleman in a business this week who is a Marine vet, and started with discounting his franchise acquisition fee by $5,000. That became important to that young man.
That's startup money.
And
that's great.
You know, it's just great when we can educate our clients that have such military qualifications and to provide these kinds of benefits. But just to give you some sense of how important veterans play a role in the franchise industry, 1 in 7 franchisees, think of all franchises that are out there, 1 in 7 is a military veteran owner.
Hmm.
That's a huge number.
That's great.
1 in 7.
Wow.
There is a program ongoing called Operation Enduring, which is a commitment by the IFA
Enduring Opportunity.
And their member franchisors to hire over 75,000 veterans and 5,000 wounded warriors.
Hmm.
You know, these programs are out there, they're available, but they're not often visible to a lot of the candidates, and that's our role. We have to help these veterans know that these are options. Now, it's not everybody's answer. We're not here to suggest to anybody that this is everybody's best option in returning from military duty. For those that it is, there's so many great programs out there and so many great things that they can become involved in that it's fun to talk about it. You know, we've got 66,000 veteran owners right now in franchises that produce over 800,000 jobs for any and all Americans. So they're job producers.
Yep.
As well as owners of these businesses, and they're responsible for over $41 billion of GDP. So they're players, they're important people, and we need to pony up. We need to act responsibly and make sure that they are aware of these options.
Yeah, it's not just good for them. It's good for the community,
yep.
For the country.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. But I'm a Vietnam vet, and I'm very passionate about not letting happen to today's veterans, you know, what happened, you know, 40 years ago. 40 years ago?
Yeah.
Well, you guys are old.
That's true. very negative stereotype. And it's 2 years ago. As recently as 2 years ago, I had a woman in a workshop. And she noticed a lapel pin, and she said, asked me what it was, and I told her Vietnam service. And she said, well, are you okay? You know, it's like, yeah. It's like, so the perception that there's something wrong with veterans, you know, I mean, I'm very passionate about keeping a positive image and helping people, get into something. And there's the National Veteran-Owned Business Association has a term that they invented called vetpreneur. And in our industry, Bill, there's a term called frantrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm inventing a third term called vet friendtrepreneur. I can't say it. Trying to spread the word and to help those folks who want to go down this path, learn what they need to learn and make the correct decisions and to get the word out, get the story out, and educate people about the process and the challenges and they're very much positive. So. That's where we're going. So, thank you for stepping in, and I wanted to come back to you, Axiom and interest in veteran promotion. So I think you've done a good job of that.
Thank you.
Mark, in terms of other outreach offices on around the state, are there other? Do you have counterparts in other campuses?
I do. That's one of the first things I did when I first came into this role about 10 or 11 months ago was to see what was already out there and see what's working. And we have our own network that we've built between the schools. And so there are a number of schools in our community now that have or are building up their own veteran resource centers or military outreach centers, same thing by the different name. And the directors of those different those departments and those different schools are working together. I'm going out of state, seeing what some of the other states are doing as well, because you know they're guided by their certain state's board of regents, so mm-hmm. they'll have different things they can and can't do, which gives me new ideas. So I'm certainly not in the reinventing the wheel business, seeing what works, and then of course we do go outside the box and try different things, and just trying to be sensitive to the needs of our own students and right. seeing what we can do to help them.
Right. And not to mention those your veteran students and you know are coming in what 3, 4, 5 years older than the rest of the population.
Yeah,
so
that's
they're looking around saying, you know, who are these people?
Right, right. What do these kids know?
They yeah, think,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they're sitting next to teenagers primarily by and large, and whereas these typically are combat veterans now, about 60% of them have seen combat. And that's increasing as more are discharged from the Army, mm-hmm. then those numbers, that percentage will continue to rise. So like I alluded to earlier, once you've seen combat, you're changed. A certain level of maturity that you just can't
right.
build in or expect to just gain outside of that kind of experience. That being said, they certainly do have a different view of the world and things often than their traditional student counterparts.
Very good, very good. Well, Bill, your picture, your comments on franchising are very good. Now, how about how are we going to solve the world economy and
Boy, I'm glad I didn't get that.
I thought that was another show, but. Maybe the first way to start is by helping as many veterans as have an interest and are qualified to understand the business options of franchise ownership. Maybe that's the little part we can play in all of this. And as I said, it's not right for everybody, but you know, it's so right for so many as a great option to employment. I don't know. I think that, when we founded Axiom, we were committed to do a couple of things, first being to enhance, if you will, the standards of the industry mm-hmm. and to add more education to the process. And it's who knows better than you, and the reason that we begged you to join us was that we wanted to focus on this area of our business, and we wanted to appear to be credible. By having a seasoned veteran that understood the things that Marcus said are very important. I mean, these guys come back and they have some real challenges. And, we thought that we needed to show that commitment to Axiom's interest in this particular group. And you've done a fabulous job in connecting with these guys and adding your experience to this part of what we do. But we take it very seriously. I mean, you know, we want to serve everybody, and we are that kind of a company, and we have a different message for women that reach the glass ceiling prematurely mm-hmm. and, you know, speak very specifically to that group as we do military veterans. But I honestly don't know of any client segment that we deal with that we view as being more important or that we have a more profound obligation to help the military veterans.
No, definitely.
Absolutely. All the way there.
Well, you guys touched on, I just want to point out that you guys all touched on basically the same point today, that basically military vets have skills that will really translate really well into the workforce. And I know we deal with a lot of companies on a daily basis that only hire military vets. They don't want the fresh out of college kids, they want military vets because they have the skills, they can follow through with things, they know how to follow instructions. But the main problem, it seems, is getting the message out there for them. And I think you guys are all really, really doing that really well.
So. Well, I think that's that's one of the reasons why, this radio show and this whole venue attracted me was how to reach out there. There's as Bill commented, thousands of veterans, all over the place, and no real, central easy way to reach them. So the more information we can put out there, on the internet, you know, as Mark commented earlier, and we can get the word out.
Definitely.
So, and try and let them know we're here, and if we can help them, great.
All right. Is there anything else we didn't touch on today, guys, that you guys wanted to bring up, Mark or Bill?
Don't think
so. No,
don't think so. Right. Just glad to be here and be among real heroes.
Definitely.
On the microphone.
Well, so our listeners can and our vets can get in touch with you. How can they reach out to you guys or get involved in your programs?
Yeah. Mark?
Okay, well, real easy. Georgia Perimeter College's website is just gpc.edu. gpc.edu.
That's
and
easy.
Just look for the military outreach place on the website. It'll take you right to our page. And you can see how you can contact me directly, and we'll help veterans or their family members, dependents, in any way we can.
That's great. And Bill?
I'll speak up for Axiom. We have www.axiom, that's with two X's. So for military out there, that's Alpha X-Ray X-Ray, IOM, Franchise Advisors, and /B. Williams. That's my landing page. And they can most certainly reach us through that. And since this is the kickoff, you know, and the show in Super Bowl week, when do we go outside and put our hands and our names in concrete? Can we do that?
Definitely. We've got it all set up for you.
Okay. All right. Good.
But yeah, that was a great first show, Bill. I loved it.
Thank you much.
All right. We'll see you guys next week at 2 o'clock, I believe. Right, Bill?
That's right. 2 o'clock. Boots to Business Radio.
On Thursday. All right. Have a great day.
Thank you.